Our scripture today comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger, so that we do not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Today I want us to do a few things, but one of the things we're going to do is we're going to look at a couple of words and sort of reassess what they mean. Because I think a lot of times we assign a certain meaning to the word that we feel is accurate, but it can lead to misconceptions and it can be dangerous for us to do that. So I want us to look at a couple of words and figure out what they mean for us specifically. The first word I want to talk about is evangelism. And the reason I bring this word up is because you could say that that's what Jonah's mission was. God wanted to use him as a mouthpiece for the people of Nineveh. God wanted to bring the people of Nineveh a certain message, and Jonah was his chosen prophet to do that. And today we think of the words of evangelism as spreading the gospel or giving the good news of the gospel to others. And Jonah wasn't really giving them good news, but he was being a messenger on God's behalf. Now when we talk today about spreading the gospel message or being God's messenger, we use the word evangelism. And what I've learned is that in the church, a lot of times the word evangelism can bring negative connotations. It certainly does to the outside world a lot of times, but even in the church we have sort of these qualms about the word evangelism, because we feel, especially today in this day of tolerance and acceptance, and we feel that if we are evangelizing, we are hitting people over the head with the gospel, and that evangelism a lot of times is a word that that conveys using the gospel as a weapon. I was made aware of this even more so this past week as I was sitting in class and I was taking a course called Enabling an Evangelizing Church. And we had to go around the room, and everyone had to say why they were taking this course. And most of the people, when it got their turn, they said they were taking the course because it was a required course. And then they would go on to say, "Well, I don't even like evangelism, or I'm not comfortable with evangelism, or I don't want to push my religion on other people." And so we have this misconception that that's what evangelism is. That it's imposing your beliefs and your values on someone else and trying to make them come around and see it the way you do. But that's not really what it is. Evangelism is an opportunity for us to experience God's work in the lives of other people and to play an active part in that. When you think about it like that, evangelism is something very exciting. But we have this us and them mentality, where we are the privileged, we are the blessed, we are the saved, and they are the lost sinners, or they are the people who don't want to accept it. And for us to tell them what we believe, then there's this separation. But the truth is, we were once just as lost as anyone else. And God did a saving work in us, and God longs to do a saving work in other people. So evangelism for us should not be about us and them. It should be about us and God. Us being the other people that we are talking to, and ourselves. And God being the common agent that works to save people on both ends. Evangelism is an invitation to be a part of God's work here on earth and in the lives of other people. Now, Jonah had this sort of separation anxiety, just like we do, this us and them thing going on, particularly with the people from Nineveh, because they were foreigners, they were outsiders, they weren't Hebrews, and they were a wicked people. God said so himself. And so Jonah had this us and them thing going on, where he did not want to go to these people and do this thing that God, he was not viewing it as an opportunity to experience God's work among these people. He was instead viewing it as an us and them thing with God sort of in this tug of war in the middle. He had a bad case of the us and thems. That is, until the storm, and until he was swallowed by the fish. And as we said last week, when he was there in the belly of the fish in the darkest of circumstances, he began to give praise to God. And he began to repent. Now, I use that word repent, and that's the other word I want to discuss today, that because I think that there's a misconception about what repent means. A lot of times we think the word repent means to confess, or maybe we think that we repent of something because we feel guilt. Repent doesn't really mean either one of those things. The Hebrew word for repent, the word that is used here in the book of Jonah, means literally to change your mind. In other words, when we repent of our sin, it's not just that we feel guilty, or that we've confessed it, or that we're going to try not to do it anymore. It means that we have had a complete change of perspective about that sin. We have pulled ourselves away from the sin and looked at the big picture. And all of a sudden we've said, whoa, that's what I've been doing? I don't want any part of that. Or, whoa, that's been my attitude? Those are the things that I say? Those are the thoughts that I think? Well, I can see better now. And I don't want any part of that. Repentance is coming to the conclusion that what you've been doing is from a flawed perspective. And you've had a change of heart about it. And so you have no desire to do it anymore. That is what happened with Jonah in the belly of the fish. He pulled away and said, I see clearly now. I've been in rebellion against God. I've been going off and doing my own thing. And it wasn't just that he was sorry that he did that. He was able to pull himself back from the situation and have the wisdom to see clearly. The book of Proverbs says, above all else, get wisdom. And if you ever read through the book of Proverbs, you see that wisdom is just praised, it's personified, it's glorified. Wisdom is the thing that you want to strive for. And it's because wisdom is what allows us to see the big picture, to see where we've erred, to see where we need to turn around. And not just because we have to, but because we realize that it's not worth it. We now see those actions and those deeds and we understand it's not worth it. We don't want to have that in our lives. That's what it means to repent. And God will grant the wisdom to do that and to see that, as long as we are not caught up in our own rebellion. Now, I said that Jonah repented here, but some people may read this and they may say, did he really repent, or was it just that he got caught? And so he apologized and he tried to do what was right. That's an interesting question. Did he really repent, or was it just because the storm came and he was thrown overboard? And was it just because he was swallowed up by the fish? And then at that time he said, okay, yeah, I'm sorry, God. You caught me. You found me and I'm sorry. And we read this story and we think about Jonah confessing there in the belly of the fish, and we say, maybe it was just because he got caught. You know, we do that still in the church with each other. We do. When people confess, we have this tendency to say, well, maybe they're just sorry because they got caught, or or because they felt guilty, or something like that. Did they really see the error of their ways? That's going on in our culture right now, in a story you may be familiar with. I hesitated to even talk about it today because it's kind of a loaded subject. And it involves a celebrity that you may know of. I won't say his name. If you know him, that's fine. Or if you know of him, that's fine. But in the past week or so, there was there's a website called Ashley Madison, where people will log on with the intention of having an extramarital affair. That's what the website is for. And some smart hackers figured out how to hack the site, and they got, it was like 32 million or 37 million, something crazy like that, names of users, people who were using this website, and exposed them and put it out there. And so all of a sudden you have all of these people, these that are in grief, that are in agony, that have been caught. You have families that are being broken, spouses that have been hurt, children who feel like they've been betrayed. And of course you have some families who are trying to reconcile and trying to make the most. And on the outside of all of that turmoil, you have people, Christians, people in the church. I've seen some of them on social media saying, well, they're just confessing now because they were caught. They're just sorry now because they got caught. And that may be the case for some of them, but we don't know. It may not be the case for some of them. For some of them, maybe this was just merely the storm that God brought into their lives so that they could step back and get a bigger picture of what's going on. Somebody told me one time that the thing you dislike about other people is usually the thing you dislike about yourself, and you see it in someone else. And I think that's true in the church. I think we do that sometimes. If we have a tendency to repent or confess only after we've been caught or something like that, then maybe we assume other people do that too. The truth is, we can't know someone else's heart or their mind or their perspective or their relationship with God. So rather than saying people only confess because they've been caught, what we need to be doing is praying for them, praying for all those broken families and broken homes, that they will find peace and they will find restoration. And rather than looking at Jonah and saying he only confessed because he got caught, we need to be even more intrigued by his story, because then he steps back and he looks at the big picture and he says, not only am I sorry for running from God, but I'm thankful that he's including me in his plan, in his work. And we know this because, as we said last week, when he was in the belly of the fish, he sang a psalm of thanksgiving. That's not the action of someone who feels guilty. That's the action of someone who has had a change of mind and a change of heart. That is what repentance looks like. Now, Jonah wasn't the only one who repented. Obviously, the people of Nineveh repented, and that's the big event in this chapter. And boy, did they repent. It went all the way to the top, to the king, who said, not only are we going to fast, but our animals are going to fast. Not only are we going to wear sackcloth and put ashes on our head, but our animals are going to do it too, our livestock, our pets. In Buena Vista, if you walk around, you'll see stray dogs. Some of them are pretty mean looking, big dogs. But could you imagine going for your morning walk and seeing one of those big dogs coming up to you wearing sackcloth and ashes poured over its head? It'd be a pretty scary sight. But that's what was going on in Nineveh. They were so sorry. They were so repentant. They had such a major change of heart that they said, even our animals and our livestock are going to take part in this fasting and this repentance process. And they didn't do it just to spare themselves. They had no idea whether or not they would be spared or not. In fact, the king says, who knows? God may spare us. He may change his mind. But that wasn't going to stop them from repenting. Because they had a complete turnaround, a complete change of perspective, and a complete change of heart. Jonah could have just as easily said, well, they're just repenting, they're just changing because they got caught. That would have been hypocritical, considering he just went through repentance of his own. But you know, what's really interesting about the Ninevites, they weren't even Hebrews. They were Assyrians. This was a foreign country that was always on the brink of war with the Hebrew people. They didn't like each other. And the Hebrew people, they were a chosen people. They served Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Jacob and Isaac and Abraham. And then you had these Assyrians who were outsiders. But God extended grace to them. He sent a messenger to them. That says something about God's grace. Not only did Jonah repent, not only did Nineveh repent, but the whole big event that happens in the book of Jonah, God repented. Now remember, repent doesn't mean to confess a sin. God had not sinned. I'm not saying that. Repent means to change your mind, to change your heart. And the word that it uses here at the end of the chapter, it says, God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, and God changed his mind about them. And the Hebrew word that is used there is the same word that is used for repent. God had a change of heart. Why? Because God is a God of second chances. Go back up and look at the very first verse of that chapter again. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. God wanted to include Jonah in his saving work. And Jonah ran. Jonah rebelled. But God came to him again. Because he is a God of second chances. And Jonah went and he told the people of Nineveh, 40 days and you'll be overthrown. But the people repented. They had a change of heart. And when they had a change of heart, God had a change of heart. Praise God that he is a God of second chances. It's wonderful to know that whatever punishment we deserve, whatever bad things might come our way because of something that we've done, God can change it. God wants to intercede on our behalf. He can change His own heart and mind concerning us as long as we have that change of heart first. That goes for Jonah. It went for the people in Nineveh. Goes for all the people involved in that Ashley Madison scandal. And best of all, it goes for me and for you today. He gives us wisdom when we ask for it. He gives us free will. He gives us the ability to step back and see that big picture and say, whoa, what have I been doing? I've changed my mind about this behavior, about this attitude, about these things that I'm doing. That's repentance. And when we do that, He gives us a second chance, and a third, and a fourth. Because for all His power, God is a God of grace and love, forgiveness and restoration. Let us pray. Lord, we confess that so often we run counter to Your will and we think we know what's best, but in reality, You are steering us into a master plan that is not only good for us and good for other people, but it is good for Your kingdom and Your will here on earth. There are so many things in our lives, Lord, that we need wisdom concerning. We need to be able to step back and see the bigger picture the way You see it. So, Lord, we ask now that You give us that discernment, that You give us the ability to repent and change our minds of whatever is in our lives that should not be there. In Your precious and holy name, amen.